Hi, everyone. This is Seth with Drone DJ, and I'm joined today by Scott Simme, Editor-in-Chief of Drone DJ, Ife Zhao, and Patrick Morrell. Ife is with AltaX, and Patrick is a drone expert at CBC. We're here today to talk about the DJI Air 2S. And we'd love it if you guys could throw some comments, questions in the chat as well. We're both here on YouTube and in Facebook as well. Scott, take it away.
Well, I tried out the Mavic Air 2 last summer. I don't own one, but I was pretty impressed with that drone, although there were some funky things around imaging quality on that. And I think the Air 2S really addresses a lot of those concerns and adds some new features as well. I think DJI's tagline for this is something like all in one. And it's a reference both to the 1-inch sensor, which we have in this, as opposed to the 1/2-inch in the Mavic Air 2, and that there's a whole new suite of features that are all in one package. I like this drone. And Patrick, you've had a chance to fly this. You've had an advanced version. What are your impressions of what do you think?
I had the when the Mavic Air 2 first came out last April, I got in line, bought that. That was my dream drone at the time. So I flew the Air 2 all summer and all through the fall. And I've had the last week or so to give this one a try, and I'm impressed. It kind of takes the Air 2 at the flight stabilization, the OcuSync, the flight dynamics, the new controller, and just pushed it a little bit further than what we saw from the Mavic Mini, and was really the perfect type of drone to throw in your backpack for capturing for me it was on vacation, capturing scenics and vacation photos, but also doing video. And I just thought it was a great all-around robust drone that I had been looking for. The Mavic Air was basically the go-to, perfect to put in my bag. And this one just takes it one step further. Like you said, the 1-inch sensor, I think, is really puts it in the same type of class that we're looking at with the Mavic Pro 2. But I think at a better price point for most folks like myself, as my primary drone, I didn't want to spend $3,000 to get that much of a drone. I just needed something that has a decent price point, gives me a good quality, gives me good airtime, and it was robust. One of the big features for the Air 2 was that it was listed to fly at minus 10. So living in Canada, we get that a lot. So it allowed me to do a lot of winter flying. So I'm really excited to see how this will perform, I guess, into the, now that we're getting into drone flight season, to see how it will perform against what I've been flying for work and personally. It's a great little drone, and I'll be looking I just sold my Air 2 for this one. So I'll be getting in line very shortly to make this my go-to in my camera bag moving forward.
Copy. Now, Ife Zhao runs AltaX Academy in Toronto, or in Markham, part of the greater Toronto area. And Ife truly is one of the most knowledgeable people around drones when it comes to everything about them, their capabilities, their regulations. She was one of the earliest adopters in Canada. She was a builder along with her husband. They were building heavy lift rigs and doing cinema work. So she is really an outstanding resource to have with us today. Now, Ife normally would have had this drone in her hands probably a week ago, and unfortunately that didn't happen this time around. But Ife, you're familiar with some of the specs. You know roughly where this fits in the product line. Based on what you've heard about the drone, who do you think this is going to appeal to?
We had the initial, I mean, I still have it, the original version of the Air 2. We had this before the product release and we were able to test it. So unfortunately with the 2S, just the shipment didn't arrive in time. When the Air 2 came out, I mean, personally, I really loved it because, as you know, Scott, it, for me, it's really the team behind me, right? Alex and his team that supports all the technical aspects. And they're the guys who are flying on the daily basis. For us, it was really interesting because looking at the Air 2, it fitted perfectly just between Mini, the Mini category, right? The sub 250 category, and then your pro line or prosumer line, which is the Mavic 2 Pro and the Phantom and Plus category. So to me, it was a perfect hybrid. Exactly what Patrick said is people who didn't want to spend the money for Mavic 2 Pro, because if you want to have the ability to fly sub zero, you have to get the smart controller, right? So everything as app is definitely $3,000 plus for the whole package. With Air 2, it does have the price tag appeal, which is great for people who are not flying every day, who are now just doing their professional drone job. People who vlog, who just want to have an additional piece of gear in their backpack that still provides them with good quality. But to my team, the Air 2, we didn't use it much. I guess because we have Mini 2, we have Mavic 2 Pro, we have Phantom 4, you know, we have the whole arsenal. I just didn't find really anywhere to fit in the Air 2 for our team. With the new release, with the 2S, however, I'm really looking forward because now it's the full 1-inch sensor. So really for my team, it was the sensor size. It wasn't 10-bit, right? So the new Air 2S is actually 10-bit Vlog, which is the same as the current Mavic 2 Pro. So that's a super interesting feature. And for the original Air 2, even the 4K 60 frames per second was always a highlight, right? Even on the Mavic 2 Pro, you can't do 60 frames per second at 4K. So it definitely has very interesting features. And also the APAS 4.0 with the additional intelligent flight features, obstacle avoidance. I'm really looking forward to put it head-to-head with its competitor with Skydio 2 on the field and see how they actually work out together. Other than that, what I'm also interested in is with DJI, it's always interesting because they're pushing the boundaries for new technologies, right? They're pushing the SAP 250, and now they're throwing a 1-inch sensor on the 2S, which is the smaller, more entry-level category. So I'm interested to see what kind of domino effect it actually creates for, let's say, the new Mavic. Maybe there's a new Mavic 3 Pro that's going to have, who knows, maybe the Inspire 2 sensor, right? Maybe the Micro Four Thirds sensor. So that'll be super interesting to see what new drones are being released that will be at even better quality than this.
Well, it's funny because I'm looking at this and thinking, man, I should buy this. I should be like Patrick and buy this. And and then I think, well, you know, but I'm curious. I'm curious about what the Mavic 3 or the 3 Pro, which I'm guessing it will be called, what that's going to look like. But when you think that this is $1,299 for the Fly More combo, I think some people were anticipating maybe a lower price slightly than this. So it kind of makes you wonder, well, what price is the Mavic 3 or the Pro 3 going to come in at? Who knows? Now, Patrick, I'm curious because you're also, you know, you're a photographer in as part of the many things in your toolkit. Have you had a chance to really kind of examine the quality of still images that you get from this camera versus the Mavic Air 2?
I've started doing a lot more HDR. I just find the dynamic range, even with the Mini, the Air 2S, just to bring out some of the highlights and whatnot, I've been playing with that. And the shots I was getting the last couple of days have been very impressive. I'm not a big one for photo editing, so I'm just going to do a very few quick adjustments, and I'm very impressed. I was impressed with the Air 2. I'm impressed with the Air 2S. So I hadn't gone to do a head-to-head, at low light, for example, or a sunrise or a sunset. I'd like to see what that looks like. I just saw Canadian YouTuber Peter McKinnon with his pilot. They just posted some photos from the skyline of Toronto at night, and that was one of the main takeaways, that the image quality for stills at nighttime in low light was very good, and I love to shoot sunsets, so I'm really looking forward to trying that out. I shot yesterday in some fog, and the dynamic range I thought was pretty good just coming out of the camera as JPEGs. So for folks looking for like a more professional or like a higher end type of, they're looking for the deeper, the more the color, the contrast, I think they'll find them there. I think you could find them in the S, in the first Air 2 as well. I think the S is just that much more, given the 1-inch sensor, you're going to get more. I was doing some shooting yesterday with the between the Mini 2 and the Air S2, the Air 2S. And the dynamic range for video and photos, you could definitely tell the difference between those two sensors and the photos and videos I was getting out at that time. It's almost like it's like a Mavic Pro 2 Lite. Like you're getting pretty much all the same features now with the 1-inch sensor and the sensors, the obstacle avoidance. You're getting a few bells and whistles like the master shots. This will work with the smart controller at some point, I would imagine, given that it's the same controller that we saw with that we have for the Air 2 and the Mini 2. So I think with the smart controller, this would just be a great, great tool for anyone looking to upgrade or to get in. Like I sold my Air 2 to someone who has a Mini. And he's like, I'm just needing a little something more, something just a bit better quality, bit better pictures, like better flight range, better battery, some more obstacle avoidance. I wanted some of the tracking. I just needed a bit more. And I think that's exactly what they've done. They've like normally the upgrades, like it's like, you know, when you get an iPhone, you go from an 11 to an 11S or right. The changes are incremental. It's always a little bit more, a little bit more. To loosen the purse strings, and the price point I think is attractive. It's still more expensive. Like it's an extra $200 in Canada for the Fly More combo. Like when I bought mine, it was 1400. This is going to come in at 1700 Canadian for the Fly More. You're getting a bit more. You've got to think, is it worth the extra? For a lot of people, the 1-inch sensor is, the same way a lot of people are in their DSLRs, it's a micro 2/3, or is it a full frame? And once they say, it's a full frame, I'm in. So I think what you're getting for people who were looking to jump in, this is a great way to jump in without having to go with for a Mavic 2 Pro to get those professional looks for the video and the stills. I haven't bothered to shoot the 5K because I think those files would just be huge. But I think for creators and the YouTubers out there, I think this will become very attractive for them.
Now, Ife, given the disadvantage that you haven't flown it yet, but you are familiar with some of the feature set, beyond the 1-inch sensor and the 10-bit processing, what other features do you see in this that you think are going to be attractive to people?
Definitely Zoom. So Zoom is a huge plus, especially for an entry-level drone, right? Not even your pro level, because right now you have to go with Mavic 2 Zoom in order to get the Zoom level. And I believe it's not even the same quality as on the Mavic Air 2S. What I'm really interested in seeing is also more on the software, what kind of update DJI is going to have from the DJI Fly app, because with both Mini and the Air series, you are using the Fly app versus with the prosumer ones, you're using DJI Go 4. With the Fly app, it's great for entry level because it's much cleaner. Right. It's a lot easier to use, especially if you fly using your phone. Because if you look at the DJI Go 4 on the phone small screen, it's just too much information on there. So usability is great for entry level. What I've seen with people who fly the Air 2 is they fly for a season. They, especially for beginners, they get their skills. They, you know, kind of build up their flight skills and build up their photo and video skills. And then they started looking for more. They wanted to use maybe third-party apps. They wanted to play more with the manual camera settings. And that's when they start hitting roadblocks with the DJI Fly app. So on the 2S, I believe it's also fixed aperture. I mean, you can put the ND filter on, but there's several stops difference between the different ND filters you can put on. It's not a variable ND. So would be really interesting to see if DJI are making any software updates to also accommodate the new camera sensors, you know, the new features with the Mavic Air 2S.
Gotcha. I was distracted only for the last 15 seconds of what you said, Ife, and that's because I was looking at some of the comments and a couple of the questions that are popping in. One of them, Air 2S price, sir. Thank you. No one has called me sir in about 4 days. so it's $1,299 US for the Fly More combo and $999 US for the drone and the controller kind of naked with a single battery. Another question, is the Mavic Pro 2 obsolete or Mavic 3 around the corner? Well, we have heard from a source that has been right in the past that the 3 Pro or Mavic 3 Pro, Pro 3, whatever it's going to be called, will be released later this year. They said Q3 or Q4. So probably late summer or fall would be our guess.
In time for Christmas?
In time for Christmas.
All right.
DJ is very good at that.
Wow. Yeah.
So yeah, if you're really wondering, you know, you can wait, but you can always wait, right? It depends really on what your needs are and what you want a drone for. I think if you are a professional aerial cinematographer, this is probably not the drone for you. You probably want to wait for the 3 and you want that variable aperture. This has a fixed f2.8 aperture. You know, I've seen people commenting, not here today, but people have responded and said, hey, you know, why aren't you putting a variable aperture in this? And part of the reason is that DJI would regard that as a premium feature reserved for that sort of sector within their drone line. So they're not going to undercut themselves by putting a feature that is in a premium drone for a lower price than the premium drone. However, that being said, I'm really quite impressed with what this drone produces, like right off the card. I'm not a professional cinematographer, although I'm really quite pleased with some of the shots I have in our YouTube piece. But I am the kind of guy, when Patrick was saying earlier, you know, I just pull my card out of the camera and take my images and, you know, occasionally, if they really need it, I'll tweak them. But sometimes for me, I just want a product that's going to produce something good right off the card. And I think really that's probably the case for the majority of people who go and fly drones. They just want to get up in the air and have a flying camera and have some fun. And, you know, this is a pretty fun drone because, you know, some of the features packed in there with the quick shots, which we've all come to know and love or use or hate, whatever, it's included also this master shots that Patrick was referring to earlier. And kind of the cool thing about the master shots is that the drone goes away for about 3 minutes. It shoots from a variety of different perspectives. It shoots while it's pushing in. It even appears to use the zoom in part of this. And then you can choose from a number of templates with music ranging from obnoxious to cheesy to actually really good. and it will produce a finished, polished video for you. And if you change your mind later, you can go back and say, hey, I'd like a different template, and it will produce another video for you. Ife, I know that the people you tend to work with are all professionals in the industry, but you also have your finger on the pulse of the industry. Do you think features like that are useful for average consumers?
Actually, I really want to echo what both Patrick and Scott and you just said about not being a professional cinematographer and being able to just take the image out or take the video out and take a few minutes and have a finished product. From what we've seen really with technologies, I mean, what's interesting is we started training back when we were full-time in the film union and building our custom heavy lift, flying the Red Dragon and Alexa Mini. When Hamburg College came to us and said, look, we want to build a drone training program just for people in the film industry. And then next thing you know is the program launched and only a handful of people came in from the film industry. Most people came in from public sector, engineering, constructions, vloggers, people who are just genuinely, you know, interested in photography, wanting to do something. So what we've really seen in the past few years is the drone world has really changed. I mean, we train most of the professional people who fly to use for survey, use the enterprise models, or people who build their own bigger rigs to fly for film. But the bigger numbers that are coming in are also people who are not in the professional film industry. We have even surveyors, engineers, after training, going out to buy a Mavic Air 2 just because they said, look, we don't want to use our enterprise model. It's too complicated to have it set up. But you know what? From time to time, we just want to take a nice video or a nice picture of our site that we don't have to hire a professional photographer to come in to do that. And we don't know anything about post. We just want to be able to have an auto setting or use some of the existing features like HDR or the intelligent flight features, right? The quick shots. People who are not in the professional film world, they love that because they can achieve a drone, which is one of the most complicated shots to do manually, right? They can actually do that in a matter of a couple of minutes, getting the altitude right, getting the distance right, and they can just go and get the shot. So that's what we see. It's from training side, it's called the cross-disciplinary learning. It's people from, you know, different industry backgrounds wanting to actually take photos and take videos, although they're not the professionals to do it. So I'm really happy to see more drones, different units coming out with that ability to allow them to do it. So yeah, the price tag is $12.99 for the Fly More combo. But for a lot of these professionals who are not in film, right? A lot of the engineers, public sector guys, this is not really a high price tag for them. If they count their manual labor on setting up an enterprise drone just to get a couple of shots, this is a huge time saver and a huge, basically, you know, money saver for them. So they can get some really nice shots when they're already on site doing their survey, doing other work with the enterprise units.
One of the features that really hasn't been discussed, we do have it in the review, and we encourage you to go to dronedj.com and read the review because we outline the features, a lot of the specifications. But one of the features that, you know, DJI, when they provide us with drones, which we return, by the way, we don't get free drones out of this. When they do that, they send, and I'm still a paper guy for some things, they send a really big, long document. This is just full of sort of specs and photographs and all sorts of other information about the new drone. Now, there's a feature, unless I've somehow missed it, and I've read this a couple or three times now, I was out in the field the other day and was down in a sub-menu, and what do I see but a remote ID option? Remote ID is an FAA regulation that is sort of coming into effect in phases, but essentially what it means, and I'm sure Ife will correct me if I have anything wrong on what I'm about to say, what it does is it requires all drones above 250 grams that are being flown in the United States about 2.5 years from now, they must include either an internal or external module that can broadcast information about the drone. And it's often referred to as a digital license plate because your name is not attached to the string of numbers in the data that are broadcast from the drone. However, if I'm an FAA regulator or a police officer or a first responder, I will have access to an app that will actually tell me who you are. And what you're doing, or if I need to follow up with you for any reason, such as flying your drone over an MLB stadium. So I think that's kind of got it. But I was surprised to see that the option, which you can enable or disable, is in the app. So I guess the takeaway from that, regardless of what you think about remote ID, is the fact that this drone is kind of future-proof. You can buy this knowing that when that regulation goes into full effect, it already has the technology built in. Patrick, your thoughts on that, or had you noticed that in the app?
I hadn't noticed that. I'm based in Canada, so chances of me traveling to the United States are fading with every passing month, it seems. I hadn't noticed that. I did I when I was out, this also has the ADS-B receiver. And so that, and which is a great feature, and I've and that has come up with when I've been flying the Air 2, the regular 2. It didn't, I didn't get the same warnings as I got flying this particular model when there was an air ambulance that was nearby when I saw I come down. I didn't get that pop up, so maybe there's an issue there from our update, of course. But yeah, I have been following the that's more of an EFI question than for remote ID. We are far, I think in Canada, we are a few years away from that.
And Ife, did I kind of get that right about remote ID based on your understanding?
So I believe there are two main differences. I believe there's an AirSense and there's remote ID. So I believe the AirSense was more for the ADS-B for more about reporting, not just reporting the drone's information, but also aircraft around you. So basically what Patrick just said, ideally, if there's an air ambulance, if there's a small flying aircraft below certain altitude, you definitely want to avoid them. You want to make sure you're not creating conflict with manned aircraft. Remote ID, actually, I believe on the DJI feature, it was supposed to, if let's say Scott, you and me are both, you know, on the same field. And we're both flying DJI drones. So if we both turn on the DJI remote ID, I'm supposed to actually see you on my map. And you can also see me on my map. It was an interesting feature. So I believe the difference comes down to, is it a safety feature with manned aviation or is it a safety feature among drone pilots themselves? Regarding the actual aviation side, it's a good push, you know, for drones to have the ability to whether transmit or receive ADS-B information, right? So because it goes both ways, you need to have receiver and transmitter. Otherwise, it's also not making sense. But typically, the conflicts in general aviation comes in from the non-compliant aircraft. Right, which means just like the one Patrick mentioned, there are going to be aircraft, smaller Cessnas, single engine, even some of the lighter helicopters that may not have ADS-B on board. And typically those are the ones who may fly a bit low, who may go below the radar, who may, you know, get into conflict with drone traffic. So without them having ADS-B, it's kind of useless, you know, to put it politely. Yeah. But it's interesting to also see the push, because ultimately if a $2,000 drone can have the ADS-B ability, then there's no excuse for any of the smaller aircrafts not to be equipped with ADS-B or turn on their transponder, right? So ultimately, I think it's an important step forward. At least to me, it's always about what are we doing that's right, regardless of what, you know, other people are doing that's not right. So it doesn't matter what the non-compliance aircraft come from general aviation. I think it's a great step to say from the drone industry, we care about safety. We're going the extra mile, right, to throw in the AirSense, to throw in the remote ID to help improve the overall air safety. And there's no reason for the general aviation not to do that.
I agree. I agree with her on that. The biggest conflicts we're coming into, I've come into, are low flying planes, Vipers, Cessnas, float planes over Lake Ontario, that I can't see. I can't really tell the height, but I know they're low, but don't register because there's no ADS-B. The media helicopters in Toronto, where I'm based, don't have ADS-B. And those are the folks that, because I'm listening to traffic control, I know they're like at 600 or 800 feet or 1,000 feet. So I know what height there are, but for the general person who's flying, they might not know and they might not care, and that could be a danger. But when it comes to situational awareness for the operator to fly safely, yes, we have to know what's around us. And I'm finding I'm running into more and more drones, other people, other operators, other people flying for fun, flying for YouTube, flying for their Instagram feeds, which is what they're for, which is great. But I would love to be able to see them on my screen as well at some point. I think that would be I've been on operations in downtown Toronto where drones are darting over flight paths towards Belly Bishop, and there's really nothing I can do about it. And I'm afraid that we're going to be mistaken for somebody who's being a Yahoo and flying where they're not supposed to be flying because we're trying to fly according to the rules. So if I could see where they were, I could also avoid conflict, but also know if I see that drone flying over there. I know he's not doing it legally because there's no way he'd be allowed to fly there. I'm just going to stay here and do my thing and maybe wait for them to finish. So I think we're going to see more and more of those as we move forward, as they make better drones that are more affordable for folks to be able to afford.
Now, I'm just going to try and touch on a few quick comments at once that we can answer quickly. One, someone after they saw me with the piece of paper from DJI said, please scan and upload that document. And I'm sorry, I'm unable to do that. Not because I don't have a scanner, but because DJI would be very unhappy with me. Now, a guy named James DBB, thank you for this comment, James, says DJI has long had remote ID, in quotes, in their app, but it's not actual remote ID in terms of what the FAA considers to be remote ID. So it's possible, mea culpa, that I may be mistaken here in calling that an FAA compliant remote ID. You know, when I that's the first time I'd seen that feature. So when I looked at it, I've got a brand new drone that is packed with new features. I see something called remote ID that asked me to type in how I want to describe the drone. And I made that assumption. So I may well be incorrect, and James will check with DJI this morning. And if that's an error, we'll post that on the site. One of the other big questions here is something that Ife touched on earlier, which is how does this compare when it comes to tracking with the SkyDio 2? Now, first of all, I can't tell you because I was the only person out with me to track. And so I don't know yet. Patrick, I suspect you probably haven't had a chance, although you can jump
in. Not either.
Yeah. So the answer basically is we don't know yet. However, I think if you take a step back and you look at the marketplace in general, the SkyDio 2 was released a year and a half ago, or almost 2 years ago, and it has become the go-to drone for many in the community who want really, really good tracking and obstacle avoidance combined. It just works. Seth took the SkyDio 2 with him snowboarding recently, produced a video that's on our YouTube channel, and you can see this thing looks like a person is flying it. So I think DJI undoubtedly is aware that in this same kind of price range sector, the SkyDio 2 is really big competition for people who want that particular feature. And so I think we're really looking forward to checking this out. I know my own experience, and I'll be happy to hear from either of you on this, my own experience with the Mavic Air 2 was that whenever I tried to track myself, it would do it if I was kind of just ambling along, but if I started to jog or change direction, it would lose me. Was that your experience, either of you? Yeah.
Ife? Yeah.
It was more of an obstacle detection than obstacle avoidance.
Now,
I tried a few occasions this past summer to track boats and along Lake Ontario, speedboats or jet skis, forget about it. It worked well with paddle boards or slow moving canoes or kayaks. Even windsurfers, it had a hard time keeping the track lock. Now, this is with the Air 2. I'll have to see once I get some more time with the S just to see if that's improved a little. But I have found, like, even trying to track cars, I've found difficult. It had to be a slow moving car. Anything fast on a highway wouldn't move. A cyclist going really fast at a brisk pace, it would lose quite easily. So anything slow, it would usually work with. But a saunter, I would say, did well with.
Seth, my apologies. I've just realized, I thought, man, Seth's been awfully quiet. And then I realized I haven't been asking you anything. And Seth is also.
Well, this is a good time.
A tremendous source of knowledge. Seth, just your overall thoughts on this. And of course, you've had the SkyDio 2 out as well.
Yeah. So, when we reviewed the Air 2 or the Mavic Air 2 at the time it was called, we put it out with behind a bike, even just like running through like some sparsely treed, you know, pseudo forest. And it would lose us, you know, we'd go to the left and it would kind of just stop. So when we talked to DJI, they didn't really say that you know, we gave them the opportunity to say, oh, you know, the follow stuff is improved. They said, they didn't say it was, they said, well, we now have a top sensor, which, you know, when it's flying like this, it can now see forward better. But they didn't really go so far as to say that the technology is improved, and they didn't really, you know, say, hey, go out and try it with the follow stuff. They kind of just, you know, said, well, could, you know, theoretically, it could be better. Now, that could improve with software updates, you know, as we go forward. But, you know, if follow is a key thing for you, then I think the Skydio is probably still the one to beat for sure. I'm still like blown away with how the Skydio can follow even, you know, going 20 miles per hour. So it's a big difference there. But, you know, obviously DJI beats the Skydio with, you know, image quality sometimes and some of the other features. So, it is interesting that they're both priced at $999. I wonder if that's going to, you know, make Skydio think twice about reducing the price a little bit or something.
One of the other questions here. Hello. Hi. Will this drone be able to take quick shots and tracking videos in 4K 60 frames per second and not just 30 FPS? On the quick shots, they're always 1080p. That is what you get with quick shots. And I don't know the answer. Perhaps you do, Patrick or Ife or Seth, on the 4K track, active track.
It's been a while since I used the active track. Yeah, that's one thing to be tested. I did try some of the master shots, the new feature on this, and it was at 1080. I didn't see if I could go into the settings to try to bump it up a little bit, but from what I recall, I just tried it out this morning. It was at 1080.
Also, Scott, we have some comments from YouTube and Facebook that I can put at the bottom of the display if you want to go through those.
Sure. Is it backward compatible with the smart controller? I don't know at this stage. Ife, Patrick?
I believe it's OcuSync 3 technology, so it's newer. It will be interesting to see what controllers it's actually compatible with. And also, I guess, Patrick, going back to, you had a comment earlier about the operating temperature, right? Because traditionally, the Mavic 2 Pro, it's actually the smart controller that's rated for minus 10. So the actual drone can go to minus 10. But if you have it with a regular controller, it's the controller that's limited to from 0 to 40. So because the new Air 2S is 0 to 40, I believe, listed on the spec sheet. So I wonder if that's because it won't be compatible with smart controller. I mean, it's a question mark. We don't know.
Yeah, that'll be, I guess, a firmware update to see. I would like it to be. I think that takes it again to the next level. But yeah, that'd be interesting to see.
Team is saying it is compatible. So then my question is why it's only rated for 0 Celsius?
That is a question for DJI, I think. Yeah.
We've got a question here from Jerryman. Will the camera be significantly better in the dark for night shots? And I think Patrick touched on this earlier and mentioned that he had seen a photo, some night photos from someone else that appeared to show that. Another person, a couple of things from about DJI. One of the people is saying, hey, can you please tell DJI they should provide the kind of documentation that I showed you earlier and which I'll be putting on eBay shortly. No. DJI should provide this. And somebody else jumped in right away and said, yes, they should. And I have to say that as a consumer, I agree that DJI could provide, even if it's just a PDF that is super detailed, that offers everything in one bundle that you could download and have available on your phone. That would be great, because I wound up actually in the field yesterday shooting, and there was a feature I couldn't access for some reason. I actually phoned Ife for the answer. But while waiting for Ife, I did actually solve it. But I'm in the field watching a 20-minute long YouTube tutorial. And trust me, if there had been a PDF that just sort of went through some of the features and key FAQs, etc., it would have been a much easier thing. Are the batteries universal between the Air 2 and the Air 2S? Patrick, you'd be the guy to tell me because you've got both of them there, or you had both of them there.
I had both of them there, and they look like they had same chargers, same mount. So they are the same battery. I didn't go to look to see if they're same specs are the same. Yeah, capacity and voltage and whatnot, but I'm pretty sure they're the same.
Yeah, I think so as well. Two things on that. One is you can buy the two batteries for $115 on DJI.com and probably Amazon and a bunch of other places. That was another question we had. But I was also surprised that, you know, and I guess because of the extra sensors and the bigger camera, that the flight time on the 2S is slightly less than the 2. Did that make to the final?
Yes, the flight time is 31 minutes compared to 34 minutes.
34.
And I think Patrick, you sent me a photo earlier where you had the Air 2S sitting on top of the Air 2, and it's bigger, right? The front is the front end bigger? Yeah.
Yeah, it looks like the front is bigger because they've got the sensors that double. It almost looks like a beetle, the double sensors on top. So the top portion is definitely blown out a little bit to accompany to allow for those top sensors.
So it's carrying more weight, which obviously, you know, do the math, and I don't know the detailed math, but that's why we've got lower flight time. Seth, you know, once again, kind of touching more on your industry perspective here. Skydio has been getting a lot of press for its Skydio 2 drone, and they've got further capabilities that are going to be unlocked with additional software that are coming on stream before long. What are your thoughts? You know, Skydio positions itself always as talking about AI and artificial intelligence. Now, this drone also has a lot of AI built in. There's a lot of automated things it can do. It's constantly mapping its environment as it flies. Do you think DJI is really taking note of a product like the Skydio 2 and trying to look at ways that they can, in the same price point, really try and compete with that particular sort of feature set?
Oh, for sure. Like, you know, DJI has been pretty, you know, like when, for instance, when Parrot came out with the Anafi, like within, I would say months, they had, you know, a product that with the Air 2 that kind of, you know, upstaged that. So I think DJI is like acutely aware of Skydio's position and their superiority in the tracking scene. And we know that DJI has got, you know, some AI, a lot of AI people working, not just for drones, but they also have the automotive group. So I think it's a big deal there. I do think that DJI has to be a little bit concerned also with, you know, being on the U.S. Commerce Department entity list, that their AI doesn't get, I don't want to say too smart, but like it doesn't scare government officials too much. So they have to be careful there. And, you know, that's a point that Skydio loves to exploit anytime they can, saying, you know, if you're using us for any sort of government or whatever, you got to use a U.S. Brand or a Parrot even. And even Alto has like a U.S.
Alto USA.
Yes. And that's USA. Yeah. So, you know, there's, I think that's a big thing. I mean, I think for drones and, you know, cars as well, I think AI and mapping and autonomous is like kind of the big deal, you know, in the next 5 years will be kind of, you know, the thing that differentiates between the drone companies.
We've only got a couple of minutes left. There's one question I want to quickly address and then ask for your final comments each. One of those questions is, you know, about other capabilities that this drone might have. And I can't really go into any details on that, but I can suggest that, you know, there's a pretty broad feature set that we are reporting on today, and it's our hope and belief that additional features with this product will be unlocked in the future that I think will please a lot of consumers. Okay, so last couple of minutes for final thoughts. Ife, please let me know what your thoughts are with the knowledge that you haven't had a chance to actually fly it yet. Go ahead.
It does seem like a substantially improvement, a substantial improvement from the original Air 2. So really looking forward to getting our unit next week and putting it to the test, because I'm a big believer in checking out the specs on paper comparing to the actual performance at on the field. So definitely look forward to testing it out and bringing the updates.
Excellent. Patrick?
I've got about a dozen flights in. I've been really happy so far. Haven't really looked at some of the adverse, you know, in higher wind and low light. So I'm looking forward to exploring that. As I mentioned, I just sold my Air 2, but because the guy wanted something more than what the minis were offering, and I think that's where they're positioning themselves, a great little prosumer camera in the sky that allows us to get even better quality pictures without having to make the big jump into you're looking at two in the thousands and thousands of dollars. So I am looking to see what happens with with perhaps some additional features. This suits very nicely. If you had this in the FPV drone side by side, you can get some really, really great footage together. The 1-inch sensor, I think, will actually push people over the edge and say, okay, this is the drone for me. The Airs have been a very good consumer drone from the get-go to allow regular folks to get great pictures. And I think this just continues that trend.
Great. And I've kind of had my say in the main review and in the YouTube video, both of which are on dronedj.com. Seth, any final thoughts? And I'll leave it to you to wrap things up.
Sure. Well, I think you touched on it just briefly at the end there, Scott, but a lot of people are wondering if the FPV goggles and flight stick will work with this. And, you know, officially, we don't know, but kind of my best guess is that is probably somewhere down the line. I think DJI would love to have the ability to use goggles with this thing. And, you know, we hear things. We don't know if, you know, what's going to be official until it's actually official. But if I had to guess, I would say that, you know, in a few months or, you know, at the end of the year, at least by then, probably the goggles and the flight stick will work. So those are the big questions. For me, I'm actually going to pass on this one. I've got a Mavic 2 Pro. For my, you know, the higher end shooting, and I've got a Mini too. So I'm going to probably, you know, keep those two. And I have a Skydio. So if I need to follow, I'm in pretty good shape.
You're covered.
I'm covered. And my next drone is probably going to be a 3 Pro or whatever that ends up being called. So at this point, I want to just thank everybody, Patrick, Ife, thank you so much for coming on. Scott, great show, great review. Thanks everybody for watching, and head to the comments section of the review, and we'll talk more there.